So we're going to now go back to the book of Genesis. Amen. And we're on Jacob's journey, part five, if you will. And Jacob has some things. It's his life. Again, what did I say God was doing through Jacob's life, through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? He is bringing forth his son. That's this all of this here. Abraham and Sarah's life is not a story on how to get pregnant. It's not. Samson's life is not about how to become strong. The whole book is about one person, or books, I should say, the collection of books that is the Bible, is about Jesus Christ and how God, in particular, as we're studying Genesis, this story of Jacob, how God in particular, and this is so encouraging to me, I was in tears this morning reading and considering the scripture, because in Jacob, we look at you and I. Come on. In Leah, in Rachel, in Leah and Bilhah, we're looking at you and I, and Rebecca and Isaac and all of these people. Laban, for those of us who are given to, well, I'm not going to say that. But who have had, you know, tempted, put it that way. And we're all tempted, amen? Father, help us now as we come to your word. I pray that life, yes. Lord, when you speak, life always comes. So let us hear your voice speaking in the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We stopped off last week in Genesis 29. And we looked at how Leah was unloved. And we talked about what it means and how we've all felt that before. Rejection, if you will. How she was unloved and how the Lord then opened up her womb and caused her to start bearing children. And Rachel's situation, and we looked at all of that. So I want to start, I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 29 and then launch into chapter 30. Genesis 29, 35 reads, "And she conceived again," she being Leah, "she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah." And we dealt with all that last week. I want to just mention this in going into verse 30. "Then she stopped bearing." Then. Hello? Then she stopped bearing. I wonder why she stopped bearing. Could it be that the one who caused her to marry Jacob in the first place, the one who gave her Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, could it be that when he got to Judah, his purposes had come to an end? At that point, his purposes had come to a pause. He stopped. She stopped bearing. She stopped bearing. And in most places, if you go where you go, if you stop bearing, it's time for you to leave. You stop producing, go to work and stop producing. It's time for you to get out of here. Okay? I thank you. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Okay? And, but here she stopped bearing. The one who opened her womb, all of a sudden, she stopped bearing. Now, we go into chapter 30. "Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. And so Rachel finds herself in a pretty bad predicament, as in humanly speaking. God didn't think it was a particularly bad situation, but humanly speaking, it's interesting how we look at our situations. Paul would often say to the, I believe it was the Corinthians, he said, I speak to you after the manner of men. I speak to you after the manner of men, as how men would consider this. What was natural for women to do, Rachel could not do. Bear children. This was natural for women to do. Rachel couldn't do it. And so the naturally human emotion then is to envy those women. In this particular case, it's Leah, her sister, to envy her who could bring forth children. And so the scripture says that Rachel envied her sister. And then she does something interesting. She goes to Jacob. She says to Jacob, now what's interesting is about this, is Rachel doesn't turn to God, but she turns to Jacob. Hello? Can I make a comparison? Can I make an application? Oftentimes, when we have a need, that instead of turning to God, we turn to man. And we're looking for a heavenly answer from a fleshly, earthbound man. And Rachel does this. And so, how many times do we do that, right? She demands of him. She doesn't ask, give me children. Give me children. And verse 2 says, Jacob's anger was aroused or kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in the place of God? In other words, Jacob recognized the only person who can affect your situation is God. Why are you coming to me? Hello? Sometimes we need to say to brethren who comes to us with these situations, you need to hit your knees. They're coming to us, tell them what? Brother, sister, let me tell you something. Why don't you go home, get on your knees, and put this thing before God. That's the best thing you need to do. Because you telling me all this, I ain't got nothing for you. I'm sorry. I can't help you. Is that being mean? No. Jacob said to her, am I in the place of God? He goes further. He doesn't suggest it. He says, who has withheld from you the fruit of your womb? He's withheld from you the fruit of your womb. So could it be that Rachel is asking of Jacob what Abraham and Isaac did for their wives? Let me read Genesis 20 and 17. When the king of Egypt had taken Sarah, because they lied and said that Sarah was Abraham's sister, the Bible says that God closed up all the wombs of the women of Egypt so that they couldn't. Hello? Think about that. Of Abimelech's house. All the wombs of Abimelech's house. And so Genesis 20:17 says, so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Abraham, Sarah's wife. So here's Abraham praying, and women have their wombs flying open. We know that Isaac prayed for Rebekah. He said, the scripture says he entreated the Lord, right? In Genesis 25:21, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Well, maybe Rebekah said to Jacob, Jacob, Abraham did it. Isaac did it. Now you do it. Give me children. Give me children. Else I die. I don't know. Jacob says this. I can't give you what God has withheld from you. I cannot. I'm a man. I cannot give to you what God has withheld from you. Jacob probably went on and auditioned. He said, I've been doing the best I can. I can't do anything else. And so, Rachel. So Jacob wisely informs Rachel that God has withheld from her the fruit of the womb. Now here is, then the question is, why? Okay. Hey, Jacob says, Rachel, God has withheld from you the fruit of the womb. Well, if that's the case, remember how I said last week that we need to know why we are where we are? Jesus always knew why he was where he was. Oftentimes, we don't. Rachel is sitting here barren, and why? Why? As we will see, we'll come back to this, I believe it has everything to do with timing. Timing. Okay? Because we all know Rachel did eventually have children. But see, Rachel wanted children now. Why? Because Leah is having children. Hello? Can I help us with some motivation? Because I'm see, when I'm reading this, this had come to me first. So let me tell you how it came to me. Wrong motivation. The reason for having children is not to keep up, if I can borrow from Melody, to keep up with the Joneses. The reason to have children is not, Rachel, is not because Leah's having children. The reason to have children is because God is the giver of life. And when God gives life, he has a purpose for that life. And that life doesn't need to come until he deems that it's time to come. And as we'll see, Rachel's firstborn child had to, it came at the right time because there was a purpose associated with her firstborn. And that's, I'm getting all ahead of myself, but that's why I believe that her womb was closed. Hmm? And so that's why I say, ladies, for those of us who aren't married, just because your friends get married, Can I say it? I'm going to bring it hard. Just because your friends get married doesn't mean it's time for you to get married. You are a separate child of God. God has a plan for you over here. Somebody's plan is all over here, and you cannot compare them. Why? Because you're two different children. Listen, rejoice with them, dance with them, praise, weep, do whatever with them. But know, just as sure as you're sitting here, that if God gave you life, he has a purpose for your life. And with that purpose comes timing. Comes timing. Hmm? Rachel wanted children at the same time that Leah was having children. But it wasn't your time, Rachel. Why is Leah having children? God is after something in Leah. Leah wasn't he supposed to marry Jacob. God gave Leah to Jacob. Why? Because God's after, he's bringing forth his son through their lineage. He's bringing forth Christ. Ultimately, what is Christ doing? What is God doing you? He's bringing forth his son. Ultimately, that's big picture, big brush. When we paint it, that's the big picture. That's why it's not time. See, you can go force a marriage. Oh, everybody else get married. Let me go get hitched up over here. And you go get hitched up. Now y'all fighting and fussing, cussing and tearing the place up. Did you hear so-and-so? All because, hello? No, ultimately God wants to bring his son through you and I and the spouse that we marry and our lives together. He wants the image of Christ to come. So don't go, see, because you and I can't produce that. Hello? See, we think life is all about, God wants me to be happy and tiptoe through the tulips. Hello? No. That's not what life is about. Life is about him who created us, and because he did, he deserves all the glory, all the attention, all the praise. And he says, I aim to get it. Why? Because the glory of man is like a flower that soon fades. Therefore, give all glory to God because his glory is everlasting. Whole nother message. Okay, so here we go. Uh, So Rachel wants children now because Leah is bearing children, getting all the limelight. That's the wrong reason to desire children in God's plan. Yet Rachel isn't ready to go to God with the problem. So she went to Jacob, right? Remember? Yet she's still not ready to go to God with the problem. Why sometimes do we get in? I mean, why? Here, Rachel, she's barren. She turns to Jacob, give me children. Now, why is God allowing this? Well, one of the reasons, now, I can tell you that is the will of God for all of God's children, bar none, is that he wants you to look to him, depend on him, trust him. Period. He wants that of you. So Rachel turns to Jacob. Jacob wouldn't do. So, but the scripture bears this point out. She's not ready to turn to God because verse 3 says this. So she said, I can handle this all by myself. Here is my maid, Bilhah. Hello? I tell you, when you read the book of Genesis, slow down. Just don't rush through it. But slow down and look at what's there, because here Rachel's wondering, I can't get pregnant. I'm not fruitful. Why am I not fruitful? She turns to Jacob. That's one of the reasons you depended on him. Another is, here. Now, let me read what the scripture says, or what one commentary says. This first, Bilhah's name means unconcerned. Unconcerned. Here, Jacob, I'm so concerned that I'm barren, I'm going to give you to this unconcerned woman. Bilhah was her maid. In other words, her female slave. Okay? One commentary says that the handmaid was the sole property of the mistress, as has already been remarked in the case of Hagar, and therefore not only all her labor, but even the children born by her were the property of the mistress. These female slaves therefore bore children vicariously for their mistresses, and this appears to be the import of the term, she shall bear children upon my knees, because Rachel said, here is my maid Bilhah, go into her, and she shall bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her. So Rachel goes back, and she does what her relative by marriage would have done. Sarah did. Sarah did the exact same thing. Now, we know we still wrestling with what Sarah did today. I mean, we big time. Okay. And so now Rachel. But what is it? It's dependence upon the flesh. Rachel was not ready to trust God with her barrenness. I got a pastor that I know out in the Midwest, or no, on the West Coast. He and his wife, they tried to have children for years and years and years. I don't understand why it works like this, but I've heard this before. I've heard this happen before. So they wait, I don't know, something like 10 years. They try and get pregnant. And she said, well, I'm ready to adopt. Because it's just not working, honey. It's just not. They adopted a young girl. 3 months after they adopted, her womb opened up. And she got pregnant. And I'm talking today. I'm not talking Old Testament. Because I know these people. See, I'm old, but I'm not that old. Okay? And but as soon as they adopted, her womb just opened up. And I say, wow. But perhaps God wanted them to adopt. Perhaps. All right. So Rachel gives her a maid Bilhah to Jacob, and Jacob, like Abraham, his grandfather, did exactly what his wife said. Just think, brothers, let's learn something. Hey, at least us in the New Testament, because the scripture says this was written for our learning. Hello? This was written for our learning. So not only did Abraham have a baby mama, but now Jacob has two baby mamas. Okay? So for those of people, you know, shooting down at people in the ghetto, hold on. Hold on. It's all through the scripture. Right? verse 4, then she gave Bilhah her maid as wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan, which means judging. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestlings, I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. Now, Rachel sees this as she's prevailing over her sister because her maid is having children. Well, see, but see, God closed your womb. He didn't close Bilhah's womb. He's trying to teach you something, not Bilhah. Okay? So Bilhah's going to have, she's going to have children. So another interesting thing is this. Rachel refers to God as Elohim, which is the plural form of El. Elohim refers to the God of nature, right? Who's eternal, but also strong and powerful or mighty. So in the most of the references to God of the Old Testament are referring to Elohim. Okay. But Leah, when she blessed God, if you look back up into verses, well, it's 32 through 35. She said, now the Lord has given me. When Leah referred to God, she called him Jehovah or Yahweh, which is the same as Jehovah. That name is the covenant name of the God of Israel. Rachel was thinking the God who controls nature. Elohim in that day also was referred to in the Old Testament. They called idols Elohim. So it was a very general term for God, whereas Jehovah was his specific revealed name. It was the name that he revealed to them. And only covenant people could call God Jehovah, because other people didn't know him as Jehovah. Why? Because his name wasn't revealed. So Leah calls him Jehovah or Yahweh, and Rachel refers to him as simply Elohim. And so she doesn't see this. She doesn't see her children as coming from the one who's the covenant keeping, the covenant relating God. She just sees that God has blessed her, which is odd, has blessed her maid with these two children. Okay. Now, so it goes on. In verse 9, when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, see, we all get tempted. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid and gave her to Jacob as wife. Hello? So here we see that Leah is not content with what God has given her. Hello? What has he given her? Four sons. No mention of daughters, because daughters wouldn't be mentioned quite in, Dinah is mentioned, but later, she had her later. But God has given her four sons and she stopped bearing. Verse 9 says, when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife, and Leah's maid bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad, which means good fortune. Good fortune. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said in verse 13, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher, which means blessed or happy. Okay? So now what we see, though, is that Leah employs the same means that Rachel did to secure offspring. Okay? But in the verses I just read you, do you see something missing? Let me read it again. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob. And Leah's maid bore Zilpah's son, and Zilpah said, a troop comes. And then she bears another son, and so Leah says, I'm happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. What's missing? I'll tell you what's missing. Leah did not say, the Lord. She did not say, Jehovah. She did not say, Yahweh has given me these children. And the reason why she didn't is because he didn't. She did it of her own fleshly working. She went and took her maid and said, Jacob, here. Go unto her. I imagine if Jacob would have slept with a whole bunch of other women, they'd have gotten pregnant too. Okay? Because that's God, that's how it works. God made us that way. Right? But Leah turned to her own fleshly devices just as Rachel had. Hello? Have we ever done that? Have we? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So because Leah was not content with what she had, my God, do we need to be content with what we have? Hebrews 13 and 5 says, be content with such things as you have. For the Lord has promised you this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What you have is the Lord. Be content. Because, listen, don't ever think if you have a need that he will ever let it go unmet. He will meet your needs in his time, and his time is perfect. Okay? Now, Leah reminds me of Hezekiah, just to show you how this being not content, and God will grant us sometimes some things. You remember Hezekiah, when Isaiah, the Lord told Isaiah, go tell Hezekiah to put his house in order. Your days are coming to an end. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, you know how good I've been. I've been a great king. I've taken care of your people, on and on and on. And so the Lord told Isaiah, go back and tell Hezekiah, I'm going to grant you 15 more years. God told Hezekiah, listen at this. Now watch this. God told Hezekiah, set your house in order because it's time for you to go. Now, how many of you know there's God's time and then there's our time? Then there's CPT. We ain't going there. Okay. But there's God's time and there's our time in CPT. Okay. So, in God's time, it was time for Hezekiah to go. Guess when you want to go? You want to go when it's God's time, right? But no, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried and begged and pleaded and said, Lord, please. And the Lord said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. In that 15 years, Hezekiah had another son. His name was Manasseh. He was one of the most wicked kings. And he reigned probably the longest of all the kings, some 55 years. And he tore things up. Everything Hezekiah didn't work for. He destroyed the altars, rid the land of Baal worship and all these things. When his son, who was born after he would have been dead, see, now had he gone when the Lord said for him to go, everything would have been fine. But no, Manasseh comes and it's horrible. Absolutely horrible. And so, thank God that's not necessarily the case with Leah here. But it does remind you of it. Verse 14 now we're at. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your mandrakes. And everyone's wondering, what on earth is a mandrake? So let me say this first. Still with no biological children, Rachel is trying everything to get pregnant. She's trying everything. But without our Heavenly Father, all of our fleshly efforts will fall short. Jesus said, without me, you can do no thing. No thing. Not for his kingdom. Not that's going to last. Amen. What is a mandrake? It's a plant of the nightshade family that spreads large spinach-shaped leaves in a rosette pattern. The flowers that form in the middle of the rosettes later become yellow-red fruits resembling tomatoes. Although considered a delicacy, it has an unusual smell and taste. mentioned in Song of Solomon 7:13. The fruit of the mandrake may have produced strange effects since it was used medicinally as a narcotic or purgative. The woody root resembling a human figure, and when you look at it on Google, it really does resemble a human figure, strangely so. This woody root supposedly indicated the plant's magical properties, sometimes called a love apple. It was purported to be an aphrodisiac, an enhancer of fertility. Mandrakes were found in the wheat fields by Reuben and were the indirect cause of the birth of Zebulun. And mandrakes grow, by the way, today in outside of Jerusalem. So you can still go in and see these things. But so at any rate, Reuben, which one commentary says would have been about five. I don't know how he gathered these mandrakes, but he was out in the field and he found these mandrakes. He brings them to Leah. And Rachel sees them and says, oh, please, I got to have those. Yeah, because I'm trying to get pregnant. And so Leah says in verse 15, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you also take away my son's mandrakes also? So these sisters are back and forth with each other. Jacob, by the way, was really Leah's husband. She was the first woman that he married. So, and Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. I got a picture in my mind. I got a picture of Jacob coming in from the field, going into Rachel's tent. She's standing in the tent door pointing over here. He like, okay, I'm going to go. Leah's over there saying, hello, over here tonight. I paid. I've been giving mandrakes. And that's what she said. It says Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And verse 17 says, but listen, and God listened to Leah. See, apparently Rachel went for the mandrakes, but Leah went to God. I mean, Leah done learned a lesson. Because the scripture says God listened to Leah. Leah must have cried out for more. You see, Rachel's not crying out to God at this point. She's dependent on the mandrakes. God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my wages. Notice how God's back in the picture. You see, in terms of her giving credit to him for what has happened. God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar, or reward. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I've borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun, which means dwelling. And afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. So here we see, Leah leaning upon God for more children. Rachel has not yet learned. She's not yet come to that place. This is an interesting thing because as we're reading this, commentators say that Rachel had her firstborn son, which was Joseph, after 14 years. So while Leah is, she done given birth now to six children, Rachel hasn't had her first one. Can you imagine the envy? Can you imagine the hostility? I mean, Rachel has to be burning up inside. But it was a hard lesson, but it was a lesson nonetheless that played out, right? So, in verse 22, we see that God is not partial. He's not good to one and mean to another. He's not hanging something over somebody's head saying, you're bad, so you're barren and you're bad. And no. Scripture says, then God remembered Rachel. Oh, Lord, I said, thank you, Jesus. When I read that, boy, I felt a tear coming on. I said, oh, my goodness. God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her and opened her womb. Let me say this. After the lessons of dependence, humility, and patience, Rachel finally gets pregnant. And she gets pregnant at the proper time, because God had a time for her to get pregnant. God's not partial. He's not good to one and mean to other. He's good to all. But you see, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3, we hear it at funerals all the time. There is a time to be born and a time to die. We don't understand it. Rachel could not get her mind around, why am I not pregnant all these years? And it says, God remembered Rachel. Listen, God never forgot Rachel. Says God listened to her. God heard every time she cried out. But this listen means he agreed with, in other words, he did what she asked. Why? Because it was his time. You know, you've been praying for something. You've been praying and praying and praying and praying. And you say, what on earth? Why isn't it? Could it be it's not time? See, God has, he has purposes, but his purposes are also related to his timing. Jesus couldn't be born at any old time. The scripture says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son born of a virgin. In the fullness of time. Now see, what was messing Rachel up and getting her all in a funk was the fact that she wasn't pregnant. And because in the world, that's considered a sign. God never said it was a bad thing. He never, did he say it? No. It's not a bad thing. It's about timing. Sarah was barren all her life until it was time to bring forth Isaac. So, the reason why Rachel got pregnant was because it was now time for Joseph to be born. And we see that, where do we see it? She conceived and bore a son, verse 23, and said, God has taken away my reproach. Now, when these women had children, they would often, what they would say would be attached to the child's name or be the meaning of the child's name. And she said, God has taken away my reproach. That reproach would be her barrenness. Verse 24, and she says, and she called his name Joseph. And this is what's so interesting about this long wait. It seems that if somewhat of a prophetic spirit has descended upon Rachel, because she says, not only has God taken away my reproach, but she called this boy by the name of Joseph, which means, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Boy, that makes it worth the wait. Joseph's name means the Lord shall add. The Lord shall add. Not only is that a statement, it's a prophetic statement. Because Rachel doesn't know, I mean, up to this point, she's been barren. She don't know she could be barren again. She don't know. But she makes this statement that the Lord shall add to me another son. Why was this so important for Joseph being born? Because Joseph is how Jacob and the children of Israel get to Egypt. That's how Jacob and the children of Israel get to Egypt. God is in the midst of fulfilling a prophetic word that he gave to Abraham. He says, Abraham, your descendants are going to go down into Egypt and stay for 400 years. He says, after that, I'm going to bring them out with a mighty hand. Could it be the reason why you're not where you are yet is because God is trying to fashion a prophetic word, because he done promised something that now he's going to bring to pass. And you and I are all a part of it. In the ins and out of our lives, he's bringing forth Christ. That's what was going on in this passage of scripture. Rachel had no clue. But the Bible says these things are written so that we might learn from them. So I said, Lord, help me to learn. Help me to be patient. Rachel had to go through a time of testing. She had to learn dependence upon the Lord. She had to wait. And I mean, she had to wait a long time. And her progression is shown in verses 23 and 24, because In 23, she said, and God, Elohim, has taken away my reproach. Verse 24, she says, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. She said, ah, oh, Elohim has taken away my reproach, but Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, is going to give me another son. Oh, my goodness. The covenant God. Why? Because this covenant God, he's already made a covenant with Abraham, given it to Isaac and Jacob. She's married to a covenant man, and she is now giving credit to the covenant God who has given her a son who then will work his purposes through that son. You see, because it was Joseph who then would receive the right of the firstborn blessing. Okay, although he received the blessing, but Judah was the one who actually carried it. Okay, we'll get to that later. That's a whole nother study. But let's see here. So Rachel's response to God for the birth of her son has a double meaning. It speaks to what God has done in the past. He's taken away my reproach, and what he's going to do, speaking of God is going to add to me another son. So you see that? She spoke prophetically, declared what God has done and what he's going to do. And rightfully so, because according to when you go through and look at all of this, when she said God will add to me another son, it was at least 7 years before Benjamin was born. So, in essence, she was barren for another 7 years. She went back to being barren because Jacob signed up to work for Laban another 7 years. He spent 21 years in Haran. And then on the way back to Canaan, that's when Rachel bore Benjamin and died on the way back to Canaan. See, so it was about 7 years before Joseph's brother, full brother Benjamin, would be born. One common commentary said this about her progression. It says the selfish feeling, speaking of Rachel, the selfish feeling also has died away, and the thankful Rachel rises from Elohim, the invisible eternal, to Yahweh, the manifest self-existent God. So she went from Elohim to Yahweh, where I believe God was trying to bring her all along. So what was going on in the natural was immaterial to what God was doing in trying to bring her and mature her in her relationship with God. In Rachel, we see a young woman who learned the hard way that God's way is the best way, that God's time is the best time, that all she went through was so that she could know the self-revealing one. God help us to do and know the same. And so I want to read in closing just one passage of scripture out of the book of Ruth, because it sheds light on the struggle or where these two women were. You all know the story of Ruth, how Naomi went into the land of the Philistines. Her two sons and her husband died, leaving her without any support. Her daughter, Orpah, leaves and goes back to her people. In the land of Moab they were. And then Ruth comes back to Bethlehem with Naomi, Ruth's not married, and she ends up, she's going to come to marry Boaz now. And in Ruth chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, this is what it reads. And this is as Boaz is going to take Ruth as his wife. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah. The Lord bless the woman, make the woman who's coming to your house like Rachel and Leah. In other words, well, let me say this. Like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. The two who built the house of Israel. All that was negative, and we looked at the struggle and all of them, later years would be held high as a picture of God building Israel through these two women. All the struggle, all the negativity, all that was just so you know, something not to be beholden of, not to want to be a part of your life, later would be held up as a model. Why? Because God was building Israel through these two women. God was building Israel. And they go on and say, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this woman. And in there, in all the deception and that we've just looked at with Laban lying to, you know, it's crazy. They, not only did they hold that up, Rachel and Leah, they go on and say this. They said, and may your house be like the house of Phares or Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Beloved, not only was it bad with Jacob, it gets worse with Judah. And when I read that, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, Father God in heaven. And it's like the Holy Spirit is just saying to me, son, there is no darkness that I didn't come to redeem any of you all from. I don't care where, from incest, you name it. You never look down on anybody's experience where they've been, because I can redeem them from it. My blood, because look at how he did. God brought his son. Do you know what he brought his son through? Harlotry and you name it, incest, all of it's all there. And God didn't shield us from it. It's all right here to read. And why is it there? So that we can know that all of the foolishness we see and trouble we see on TV and going on in families all around us. You know, we had a helicopter hovering over our house 2 days ago looking for somebody. I'm thinking, what on earth is going on? And it's just a, we are sitting there trying to enjoy a night. And here it is, you know, the wickedness of man. And yet God says, no, I can still bring my son. And I intend to bring my son through all of that, through all of that. So he put it in here so that we can know there's hope for my generation. If God did it here, he can do it here. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's hope. There's hope. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for divine truth. We thank you, oh God, Lord, that there isn't anyone you cannot save. Father, there isn't anyone that you cannot bring Christ through and to when you have determined it to be so, to do so. And so we thank you, oh God, that your word came to imperfect people. Lord, that you made covenant with imperfect people in the Old Testament. You made covenant with imperfect people in the New Testament. You brought your son through that mess, and you're bringing your son through this mess standing on this pulpit right now. You're bringing your son through all of our lives. And Lord, to you be all the glory. To you be all the praise. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would see it done over and multiplied a number of times in people's lives as they come out of darkness into the light of your great love. We pray in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said amen, amen, and amen.